We're rolling? Let's go.
We're rolling.
Tony, you got a flood in your house.
Yeah.
You all right, man? Everything okay?
I'm good. Definitely wasn't as bad as it could have been. So that's always something to be grateful for. It's demoralizing because we had flooding when we first moved in.
I remember that.
And we had to do construction, put in a sump pump. It was a whole thing that dragged out for a long time. I think that the problem this time is much smaller, but
okay.
There's something about, it's like, this down here is where I have my studio. This is where I have my instruments. This is where I have all my nice equipment. This is where I do all my work. And so for it to just feel so vulnerable, it's like, if the world decides to rain just hard enough,
All of your stuff could be ruined. All of it. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So it's been a setback for sure, but a setback is a setup for a comeback, right?
I love that. Rise like a fucking phoenix. Prove them all wrong. Would you ever get an office space outside of the house, whether it's like a WeWork or just like rent an apartment? Is that an option?
I thought about it pretty hard. I think it would make the most sense if I was going to be recording bands on the regular.
Mm.
And I live in DC, so rent is pretty high no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense to be paying for another space to do that, let alone the convenience of being able to do a lot of this from home, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's great to be able to just go down, mix for a couple hours, go upstairs, have lunch, do whatever, come back. It's a different thing than clocking in at the studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Lots of ways to skin a cat. This is just how I chose to do it.
But overall, everything's good. You're good. There's still got some things to fix up, but it wasn't a devastating.
No.
Cool.
No. It was more devastating psychologically, but
we're
good. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I can help, you let me know.
I appreciate it, man. I was joking earlier. Your house is on a hill, I hope, right?
It is on a hill.
Yeah.
But that's a whole set, dude. Building a house. My wife and I were literally talking yesterday, being like, "Do we even want to do?" We were like, "If we knew how insanely difficult and time intensive and expensive this was going to be, would we have done this?" And there's a real part of us that are like, "You know what? Maybe we're just going to sell the land and just buy a house, and because we'll take some losses." But dude, this is a bitch. Building it is and it's scary, mm-hmm. and it's time consuming, and it's expensive, and it's stressful, and we're both just like, you know what, screw it. We're really teetering on that edge right now,
man. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's
stressful.
It's nothing to be sorry about. It's like a real first world problem. It's just, it's another one of those things in life where you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Until you start going through it and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not even worth it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and no offense to anyone that's a contractor in that line of work, but it was extremely hard for me working with contractors, just trying to find someone trustworthy that was willing to take the project and take it to the finish line. You're going in, at least if you're me, you're going in with zero knowledge. So you're relying on experts.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I found that some people take advantage of that. And yeah, it's just tough because you don't know what you don't know often until you've done it. But I came out of it with a lot more experience. I know a lot more about how a building is put together. and this is just from a renovation. We didn't build from scratch. So I'm sure that's a whole other world. You're probably dealing with an architect. You're probably dealing with the materials and the different builders that specialize in different things. So that's, it's a lot.
Yeah, man. It's the architect. It's the builder. It's the lenders. It's a lot. And then also, and this is not going to be the topic of this podcast, but just looking at all right, so here's going to be your mortgage, and also learning the process of mortgages, fixed rates versus ARMs, and everyone giving you their opinions on what's right and what's wrong. And then being like, all right, so this would be your monthly payment for 30 fucking years. And I'm like, 30 years? That's crazy.
I don't know what I'm doing next week.
And then there's other advice, which is like, you shouldn't do 30 years, you should do 15 years. And then there's other advice, well, do 30 years, but try and pay it like it's 15 years. And then it's, okay, well, tell you what, I'm just going to just erect a cardboard box and live in that. And I'll be happy. I'll be good.
Refrigerator boxes, man. They're much more affordable than houses.
Yeah, 100%. But anyway, all is good. Everything's great.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Well, likewise, if you want to chat about it, let me know. and commiserate together. But this episode is going to be about what to do when you leave the home and travel somewhere else. So you leave all your domestic problems behind, you know, all the chores, all the problems, all the things that need fixing, and you go on vacation.
Yes, yes.
That's what we're going to talk about today.
That was a good transition. This is about what you do when you leave the house. I like that. Yeah, I think whether it's, I mean, we could even talk about everything from when you leave the house for an individual meal, right? This is one of the most common questions I get, especially right now. I'm doing this glucose challenge, spiking my blood sugar every day, and people are freaking out about that. And I went out to dinner. We celebrated our anniversary last week. And so during this cut, we went out to dinner and people are like, but how are you doing this? Like, how can you go out to dinner and still do it? So everything from that all the way to something more like a vacation, whether it's 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 14 days, or even all the way to, I get questions about, well, I'm going to leave the country for 6 months or how do you handle that? Which is also something I've done where I was out of the country for over a year in some cases, or sometimes several years, but how you handle situations like that when there's FOMO, you have the fear of missing out on certain foods and experiences, you're on vacation, you want to be able to relax and enjoy. But then there's also the side of you where you don't want to lose, or in many people's verbiage, they say they don't want to ruin their progress, which is just hilarious to me. But we could talk about all of those, going to like starting off with potentially the shorter duration things, like you're going out for a meal all the way to, you know, you're going out of the country, maybe you're studying abroad or something like that.
Yeah. And with each of these sort of timeframes that we're discussing in terms of taking a break from your normal routine, I'd love to attack it from a working out perspective. And then also from like a diet and lifestyle perspective.
Okay. So all of it. Yeah.
Because I think those are two tranches that are often discussed in the same breath, but aren't quite the same thing. Right.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And they can both be very difficult. So you lead the discussion. Another thing I'll add is traveling for people who work, right? Someone who is they're on planes a lot, they're traveling a lot, they're doing dinners out a lot. That's a very difficult one as well. I think that's probably the most difficult one out of all the ones that I've mentioned previously. So we can also talk about that.
Yeah. Well, let's start out. Someone's been really consistent. They're working out. They have a routine. They're eating well. They're planning their meals. And they have a big event over the weekend. And it's gonna take them out of their routine. Maybe it's a wedding. Maybe it's a big dinner or birthday with friends. And they're not going to be able to do what they usually do. What would be your first thought in that situation if someone's stressed about that weekend coming up?
Fucking relax. Like, that's that. You just need to fucking relax. You're going to a dinner, or you're going to a wedding. Like, we're not talking even about a multi-day event. We're literally just talking about several hours and you're stressed. And by the way, I should say, when I say you need to fucking relax, I'm talking to my old self, my younger self, because I used to be stressed about this stuff. And so when I come at you with that heat and with that vigor and with that bluntness, I'm really giving it to me, to the younger me who needed it when I was a kid. Because I used to let that stuff destroy me and prevent me from going out with friends and having fun. And when I would come back from college, I would not meet up with my friends because I didn't want to ruin my fasting window. Just stupid shit. And looking back, I wish that I had someone to tell me to shut the fuck up and relax. Because a lot of what I had was people telling me how disciplined I was and how impressive it is that I won't do those things. And that fueled me doing it. When what I really needed was someone to say, you're not going to go to breakfast with your friends from high school when you're back on college break because you're scared about ruining your fucking fasting window. You're an idiot. That's what I needed. So that's where I'm coming from when I say that. So, and I don't even need to go that much more in depth, but you logically know you're not going to ruin your progress from one night out or one day out, even if it's the whole day. You're not, you can't ruin your progress like that. So I don't even candidly want to spend any more time on this exact one, because you just need to fucking shut up and relax and go have fun. And especially if you've been really consistent thus far, if you've been really consistent, you've been hitting your workouts, hitting your nutrition, like this one dinner or whatever it is, you're not going to miss a workout, right? Or even if you are, maybe the day is crazy and schedule is nuts, so you have to miss the workout. Cool. It's one fucking day. Relax. That's really it. And then people are like, well, how do you get back on track? I don't know. You wake up and you do the same shit you did the day before that. And you just do it. People ask, how do I get back on? You walk through the fucking gym door and you begin again. And when you wake up, you get a great meal under your belt, have some protein, have some fiber, some fruit, whatever it is, have a great quality meal. You just do it. There's not like a hack or a tip. Or a trick, you just do it. That's really it.
Yeah. And I find these things have a certain momentum, right? And so I think that's why people get so anxious about it, is because it might have been really hard for them to build consistency, really hard for them to build momentum, to feel like, you know what, I'm actually doing it. I'm hitting these goals. I'm working out 3 times a week. I'm getting steps in. I'm eating a healthy diet. And then this stuff comes up and it's scary because it feels like it could take it all away. And what you're saying is, no, you just have to keep it consistent. You have to keep it going.
What you just said is that this key part, I'm so glad you hit on it, is they feel like it can take it all away.
Yeah.
Nope. You're wrong. You're wrong. There are people, and I think we all know or have seen someone who's been unhealthy their entire life, 40, 50, 60 plus years. They've been overweight, not exercising, not eating well, smoking, drinking, and on a dime one day they decide, you know what? I'm going to make a change. And after 60 fucking years, they can still lose a lot of weight, improve their health, change their habits. And you think because of one dinner, are you high? Like you're absolutely fucking high if you think that that's a valid reason to not continue or to think that it's going to ruin your progress. You didn't just spend 60 plus years doing it. We had one meal. Come on. It's logically, we all know it. And I know it's easier said than done, but that's not a valid excuse. I hate when there are valid excuses. Saying it's easier said than done is not a valid excuse at all. That's just you making shit up to try and like make you feel better about your choice. Period.
Yeah. And another element of this is, you know, what I'm noticing here is when I'm getting really stressed or anxious about not hitting my workouts, not hitting my meal, like the weekend getting away from me, I don't think that stress is actually helping me get back. I think that stress is actually pushing me away from getting back. If I thought about it and I was like, oh, this is late. I just have to, wedding today. I'm going to sleep in maybe the next day. And then, you know, I'm going to get a late afternoon something and get back on the horse, whatever, on Sunday. If I had that attitude, I think it would be a lot easier for me to just do it as opposed to dwelling in the stress and in the anxiety of, oh, man, I messed up. It's not going to work. I'm not doing well. I'm not living up to the standards I set for myself. That's heavy. That's a lot harder to lift, right?
Dude, 100%. I love that. Another thing I'm going to add to that, I was thinking, because this morning my workout didn't go as I wanted it to go because there's just a lot of stuff going on. So I didn't have as much time as I normally would. So I did like 30 minutes of zone two, just some cardio. And I only had enough time to get three sets in of strength training, just three. I just did inverted rows, three sets of 12. That's literally all I did for my workout today. Mm-hmm. That is not normal. Normally I'll have between 4 to 6 exercises, 2 to 4 sets per exercise. It's a long workout and it's like an hour or so. And that's what I like to do. I could only get three sets in today. It took me about like 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's it. We're going out tonight to celebrate my wife's birthday for dinner. So it's, oh, wow. It's sort of
happy
like
birthday.
The, yeah, it was yesterday. So thank you. We're going to celebrate tonight. And, I didn't have the workout that I wanted, and I could have, because I didn't have enough time. I could have just said, I'm not going to do it. But, and this goes to the momentum side of it. It's like, I would rather get three sets in and keep the habit of going than, or even I almost just didn't do the three sets because I wanted to get upstairs so I could see my daughter. I was like, you know, I'll quickly do three sets. And I still had half an hour with my daughter before the podcast. And I think many people, they're quick to diminish. Even if they try and do a little bit, they still, well, it's not enough. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. It's like, good enough for what? Like, at least you did something. You've kept the momentum rolling. And yes, we could even go back to if I didn't do anything, or if you don't get the workout in at all. Again, it's not a big deal. It's not going to ruin your progress. But if you have the chance to go on a walk or do something, like just that from the mental perspective of continuing to go and the habit of making it something you do on a consistent basis, that is unbelievably helpful with keeping things rolling.
Yeah. Why don't we stick there for a second? What are a couple strategies people can use to keep momentum up, even if they're, I mean, we were talking about like going on vacation for a week or something, but even if their schedule just gets thrown out of whack for whatever reason, you know, maybe there's a flood in the basement, maybe there's, you know, something else going on with work and they have to work crazy hours, but more than normal, you know, what are some strategies to kind of keep that momentum? You said going for a walk, maybe doing like a shorter workout, a truncated version of what you've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, I would, so for example, today I did three sets of 12 inverted rows. And that was going to be just the first set of my workout, the first exercise. But that's just all I could do. I just didn't have the time. I was like, that's it. That's the day. That's life. Sometimes that happens. So even if all you can do is the first exercise or one of the exercises in your planned workout, great. Do that. If it's, you could try and have fun with it. You could give yourself a challenge. Like, I don't know, just off the top of my head, like, okay, cool. I'm going to see how many push-ups I can do in the next 7 minutes. That's it. And if you can't do regular push-ups, do them with your hands elevated. Do them on your knees. I don't give a shit. Just do something. How many can you get in 7 minutes? Do as many as you can and rest. As many as you can and rest. And that'll be a cool, like, fun challenge workout to do whenever you're short on time. Keep track of your numbers and see what you can do. And then try again the next time and see if you can do more. Get one more in. You could do just some zone two, right? Or you could just go on a walk. You're only limited by your imagination in these moments. I literally just saw an amazing video of this. This woman put a video up of her 89-year-old grandmother going on like a 3-mile walk with her and her family. And she was talking about how her grandmother, her whole life, every day she would take a 25-minute walk every morning, to 25-minute walk, and then essentially random strength exercises, just random. And it would take like 25 minutes for the walk and then another like 20 to 30 minutes for the strength workout, just random. It wasn't an optimal strength training program. It wasn't an optimized. This isn't like, no one would look at what she's doing and be like, this is the best workout. This is the best nutrition plan. She's just doing enough to make her feel good and keep moving. And that's why I just think it's so funny when people overthink it and they're like, well, what's the best this? What's the best that? I'm like, honestly, just fucking move. Just do something. And this 89, almost 90-year-old woman can go on a 3-mile walk with her family and her grandkids because she's just continued to move her whole life. So just move. Stop overthinking it. It's just do something. And if it's 5 minutes, cool. It's 5 minutes. I did my sets of inverted rows in like 8 minutes. Probably less. That's it. That was my strength workout today, unfortunately. But like, I know the majority of time that's not how it is. So cool. It is what it is. Better than not doing anything. And even if I couldn't, there have been days where I haven't been able to do anything. Cool. It's fine. Keep going.
Yeah. Let's take the time frame a little bit longer. Let's say someone you know, has had a program that's been working for them, has had a diet that's been working for them, and they're going on a vacation for a week or two.
Yeah.
And they're anxious about it. What are some things, A, that they could do to not be anxious about it, since it's not just a day or just a meal? And what are some things that they might be able to do to stay active over a longer period?
Yeah, so this is where it starts to get, number one, a little bit more individualized.
Yeah.
But I'll start with the same exact thing. No one ever got shredded in a week or two, ever. No one ever, not in 2 weeks, no one was ever like, oh my God, look at how different my body looks. And no, it's just never happened. No one ever got super strong in a week. No one ever no one ever made an insane amount of progress in 2 weeks. And in the same way, no one ever lost an incredible amount of progress in 2 weeks. Now, before this person comes in, because I every time I say this, someone's like, well, I went away for a week and I gained 8 pounds. Cool. That doesn't mean you ruined your progress. That's fucking normal. If you ate more carbs than usual, maybe you had more calories in general, maybe you had some alcohol, you didn't work out. Yeah. 8, 10. I've heard people say I've gained 14 pounds. Odds are you fucking ate like an asshole, but that doesn't mean you gained that much fat, not even close. It's physiologically impossible to gain that much fat in that amount. It's physiologically impossible to gain that much fat in that brief period of time. And I don't know how many mini cuts I'm going to have to do to show people that your weight is not just fat, just to weigh in all the time and show the different fluctuations. Like I did a whole video where I got in the hot tub for like 20 minutes and I lost like 3 pounds, and I gained those 3 pounds back as soon as I chugged a huge bottle of water, like very, very quickly. It's your weight is far more than just fat. So just because you gained a lot of weight on vacation, it's stomach content, it's glycogen, it's sodium, it's holding onto water. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that, and people don't really understand. Let me Google this really quick. I want to Google, how long are all the organs in your body? Let me just see something. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Your veins, capillaries, and arteries would stretch for more than 60,000 miles if laid out flat. I want to say this again.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. How crazy is this? All right, here we go. Fact. Your veins, capillaries, and arteries would stretch for more than 60,000 miles if laid out flat. When your heart beats, it pumps blood through your circulatory system made up of blood vessels called arteries, capillaries, and veins. These blood vessels carry blood to every part of your body. Arteries carry oxygenated blood away from the heart. Veins carry blood back to the heart, and capillaries connect them together. If you were to lay out the vast network of blood vessels from an average child end to end, they would stretch for over 60,000 miles. In an average adult, they would stretch for almost 100,000 miles. Your capillaries, which are your smallest blood vessels, measuring only 5 micrometers in diameter, would make up nearly 80% of this length. In comparison, the Earth's circumference is approximately 25,000 miles. This means the blood vessels from just one person could stretch around the Earth many times. Now, why am I saying this? Like, the reason I'm bringing this up is because people don't understand how much shit we've got in this, like, this sack of blood and organs that we've got on our cell. Like, we're just sacks of blood and organs. That's all we are, right? In a very, like, that's like on a very simplistic level. Obviously, sure. Like, spiritually, we could discuss more, but physically, we're sacks of blood and organs and meat, all this stuff. We have so much in us, it's easy for it to soak up so much stuff and weigh us down physically, literally, to cause us to weigh more. And then your muscles and your organs are sucking in sodium and sucking in water and holding onto food. Like, of course, you can gain a few extra pounds, even if it's 8, 10, 12 pounds. That's not a surprise. It's just you think it's weird because it's going back to, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know how insane this building process was going to be. Whereas a builder would be like, of course it was going to be this crazy. You just didn't know, which is true. I didn't know. If you don't know how complex and insane your body is, then you don't understand how ridiculous it sounds to say, like, oh my God, but I gained 8 pounds over vacation. Yeah, that's fucking normal. It's not weird. So I don't even know what the initial question was, but the main thing we have to start with is this is normal. Yeah. To gain that weight. Going back to no one ever made insane progress in 2 weeks. You're not going to lose a lot of progress in 2 weeks at all, like if any, and we could talk about different aspects of progress from a strength perspective. In a week or two, oftentimes people come back from vacation and they're stronger. They deloaded, they gave their body, their central nervous system, their muscles rest. And oftentimes after a week or two, they literally come back and they feel stronger. Usually once it's 3 or 4 weeks, that's when they start to notice some detraining effects and they'll be a little bit weaker. But 1 to 2 weeks, you actually come back stronger. Cardiovascular wise, like cardio perspective, off like that is it takes a little bit less of a time to start noticing diminishing results in your progress. So usually after about a week or so, you'll notice your cardio isn't as good as it was before, but it also comes back way more quickly. You get as literally 3 sessions later and you're good and you're back to normal. From a health perspective, no, that's not how that works. Your health is determined over a long period of time. Assuming you're not doing like you're not overdosing on like fentanyl, or you're not overdosing on alcohol, like binge drinking, your health is determined over a long period of time. And there are sudden things that can radically change your health. Like, I don't know, getting hit by a car can very quickly and immediately change your health status. But assuming nothing crazy like that, and we're just talking about going out and eating a little bit more, maybe drinking a little bit more, not exercising as much, your health is not negatively affected in 2 weeks. That's just not how the body works.
Yeah. And I think what we don't want to see is someone, you know, going in and being like, I have to work out every day while I'm on vacation at the beach, and I have to only eat salad, and basically just deprive themselves of the experience because mm-hmm. they're stressed about losing progress. We don't want to see that. But if it helps someone, you know, stay relaxed about it, to go for a walk or to spend more time in the water when you're on the beach, you know, is that a way to just kind of keep things moving and give yourself some motivation or some, what's the word I'm looking for? Some slack for not beating yourself up about, you know, missing your gym routine or not being able to make up, pre-plan all your meals.
Here's what I would say. I would say, and this is when I was talking about individualization, I was saying there are different types of recommendations for different people. So for some people, I think for everyone needs to know you're not going to ruin your progress in these 1 or 2 weeks. That's number one. Moving on, some people, like myself, I enjoy working out on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel better. I enjoy it. It improves my mental state, improves my physical state, like emotionally I'm better. My wife is the same way. And I think that's, you know, I've been on vacations with people who are not like that. And it's sort of like the schedules sort of clash a little bit, because whenever my wife and I are on vacation, we make time to do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just walking. Other times, like, we'll actually go get guest passes at a gym and we'll work out. And now with our daughter, I'll work out and she'll watch her. And then my wife will go work out and I'll watch her. And that's part, like, built into our vacation because it makes us feel better. Other people are like, fuck it, I'm not working out over vacation. And that's mm-hmm. also fine. So you really have to figure out what type of person you are. And in either of those circumstances, whether you're the person who works out or the person who doesn't, you have to have the foundational knowledge of knowing whether you work out or not, you're not ruining your progress. And missing this workout or having this workout is not going to make or break anything. If you do it because you love it. Do it because it's something you enjoy. Don't do it because you feel like if you don't do it, then you're in trouble. That is the clear path to a disordered relationship with exercise, with food and your body. Mm-hmm. So whether you do it or don't on a brief vacation, it's completely up to your individual preference, because either way, it's not going to make that big of a difference. But what I will say is, I think what's really, really important on vacation, I think, and I guess it depends where you're going on vacation, but generally speaking, I really do encourage people to try and walk. Mm-hmm. Try and walk as much as you can. Whether you're going on a touristy vacation, and if you're going on a touristy vacation, you're going to walk a lot, yeah. right? Like if you're walking around a historical area and you're a tourist, you walk easily 15, 20, 30,000 plus steps a day sometimes. In our last vacation that my wife and I took, we took our daughter to Israel for her first time, and it was not a touristy vacation. We were essentially like with our family the whole time, but every day there was a lunch spot, like a little like mall area, like 2 miles away from where we were. And we would walk there. And that was it. that was the majority of our exercise in that trip, was just walking to the lunch spot every day. And then we would eat, and that was it. Yeah. And so do your best to walk as much as you can. And you can do that, and you can socialize. You can do that. Like, very often I would, my wife didn't do it on that trip. I'm trying to remember why. Maybe she just wasn't feeling her best, but I would regularly just get a bottle of wine and bring that with me on the walks. And I just have a couple glasses of wine while we're walking.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the pinnacle of health, but we're on fucking vacation, right? It's like, I just wanted to have some wine walking along the beach with my wife and daughter. Like, that was, and so that was what we did. I think walking is just, it's one of the best things to keep doing. And it's one of the simplest ways to, I think, actually enhance the vacation experience. I don't know anyone who just actually truly enjoys just lying down the entire time and eating nothing that has nutritional value. Like, they like to do something. And I very much think that even just little bits of walking on vacation is a really good habit to have. Again, not because it's going to make or break your progress, but because it's a good habit to have on vacation.
Yeah. And you mentioned eating something of nutritional value. It made me think of your big ass salads.
Mm, yeah.
I could imagine that being a cool strategy where it's like, you do vacation, you do your normal thing, but every day you try to get something, one thing like a salad, one thing that's kind of healthier that makes you feel.
Yeah. And this is a good time to talk about food and how that would work on a vacation. But generally speaking, and I'd say there's, again, we could sort of box people into two different boxes. There's the people who really love eating super well, very high quality, very nutritious. And then the people who are like, when I'm on vacation, I'm going to eat all of the shit. And there, I think that's generally, and there might be nuances in there, but that's generally the two boxes that we have. I have recommendations for both types of people.
Right.
For the people who are just like, I'm going to eat all the shit, I love what you said. Try and have one meal a day that makes you proud of yourself. Just one. One meal a day that you can be like, you know what, I'm glad I got that protein, and I'm glad I got that fiber, and I'm glad I got some vegetables, and just have one. Not every meal has to be a gluttonous meal on vacation, right? And a lot of people, they get, oh my God, but I'm going to miss out. It's like, listen, I get it. You want to have the cinnamon French toast for breakfast. Trust me, I get it. It's fucking delicious, and you're welcome to. But you can also have that back home, and this cinnamon French toast is not like the only cinnamon French toast you'll ever have. So if you want to have it, go for it. But you don't need to have it every single day of vacation. And it also doesn't mean that you can't have, I don't know, maybe the Greek yogurt with the berries and an oatmeal, maybe with it. Maybe, you know what, I'll have a little bit less of this and I'll also have that. So I think for the people who are just all junk all the time, try and have one meal at least that you're proud of on vacation every day. Whereas the people who are, I'm only eating healthy, and they get almost to the point where it impedes their vacation, mm-hmm. where they're like, okay, let's get, someone in the group is like, let's go eat here. And they look at the menu and they're like, no, there's nothing there that I can have because it's there's a bunch of fried foods and I don't see salmon, and I need salmon because of the omega-3s. It's like, okay, hold on. For you, like, you need to fucking relax. You need to chill a little bit. And like, the majority of time you're still eating foods that you like, and that in terms of like are more nutritious. But if you're going on vacation and you're not able to eat some foods that you wouldn't otherwise, because it's giving you anxiety and because you're fearful of losing your like, that's a whole separate problem. You need to take a fucking chill pill. Like, you need to relax and just enjoy it and have some foods that are traditionally, quote unquote, not as healthy for you.
So I had the pleasure of going to Italy this last year.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
First time to Italy. It was awesome. And I distinctly remember just how many carbs every meal had. And I was like kind of hungry, and we were going somewhere and we couldn't decide. I was with my family and we couldn't decide where to go. And my mom was like, yeah, let's come into this little cafe. And it was a cute little cafe kind of off the more touristy area in the Amalfi Coast.
Oh,
Amalfi.
Oh my God, those pictures of the Amalfi Coast. I've always wanted to go there.
Oh yeah, it's so definitely get there. And I remember all they had was like croissants and like baguettes and then spaghetti.
Ugh.
And I was just like craving just like a cut of protein or some kind of something, right? And then at dinner, you know, full menu, I got plenty of protein and it was fine. But in that moment, I was just so like hung up about it that it like it really like pissed me off, honestly.
It took away from the experience.
It did. And I'm here in this beautiful place with my family, you know, and I'm thinking about, oh, all I've had today is carbs. Like, that's, if I could go back, I would have just not cared, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of a great quote, and everyone who knows me a little bit will know that I'm a huge Office fan.
Oh,
there are some great, very actually poignant quotes from The Office. There's a handful of them if you really like take the time to listen. And Andy said something, and I didn't like his character development, not a fault of his own, but I think more of a writer issue. Anyway, one of the things he said that is, I think, one of the most powerful quotes that anyone could hear, especially at a time like this, is, I wish there was a way to know that we're in the good old days when we're in the good old days.
Mm.
And I'll tell you something. So there's, in Judaism, we have on our doorposts, we put something called a mezuzah on our doors. Mezuzah. And there's a prayer inside the mezuzah. And there are many reasons for it. But one of the reasons that I like it is because every time you go in or out of the door, you're like, you touch it and then you kiss it. Like, you don't touch the, you don't kiss the mezuzah. You like, you touch it with your hand and then you kiss your hand. And one thing that it's really done for me is every time I walk in or out of my door, I'm thinking, one day I will look back to these moments and be like, oh man, remember when you were here? Remember when your family was healthy and you were laughing and you were having dinner and waking up and having breakfast and your daughter was running over to you and she called you Abba for the first time. Like, every time I go in and out, it's a reminder that what I'm living right now is the good old days one day. And so going back to vacation and going back, like when you're at the Amalfi Coast and you're worried about the amount of protein you're getting and you're like, you need to fucking chill out, because one day you're going to look back on this vacation and you're going to think, I wish I wasn't worried about that. Right. And at the same time that when you look back, there will be something that you're worried about today.
Yeah.
That in 10 years, you'll look back and say, I wish I hadn't worried about that. Because every moment that we're living, when we're stressed about something, worried about something, you really need to ask yourself, is this worth it? Because one day I'm going to look back and say, these were actually the good old days. These were the times. Like, when I'm having dinner with my wife, I very consciously and deliberately think about how, when we're older, God willing, we get to be older and live a very long life, I'll look back and say, oh, remember when we were young and we would go have dinner together, da, da, da. Rather than like sitting down and stressing about whatever it is that could be stressing us out. It's like remembering that this moment is going to be a moment that once it's over, and eventually it's just going to be a memory, and that will be the good old days memory. And so thinking about that when you're on vacation, I think is, and at all points in life, but especially when you're on vacation, is incredibly important.
Man, I'm like, I'm getting emotional over here. This is... I didn't know I needed to hear that today, but I did.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm earmarking that. Poof, I'm still in there. I'm in the moment, man. So for someone that has to travel a lot for work, or someone that doesn't have the ability to kind of keep a routine going over the course of several weeks, months, what are some strategies for that person that wants to be fit and healthy, that wants to maintain some control over their diet, that wants to have a routine of some kind? Like, what would we say to that person?
So this is very difficult. And I lived this life for 3 years, mm-hmm. 7 days a week when I was coaching Gary. And I will say it's doable, but it's important to understand from the beginning, it depends how much you're traveling. It depends on a lot of that. But for me, I was traveling more than I was at home.
Yeah.
Every single week. I was usually a minimum of four flights, usually between 6 to 8 flights a week. And I was staying in hotels more than I was staying in my own apartment. And one thing that I had to come to terms with was just understanding this is not optimal from a health and fitness perspective. And definitely not from a performance perspective. And I just had to recognize that this isn't optimal. So I'm not going to be optimal, right? My workouts will not be optimal. My nutrition will not be optimal. And I had to come to that I don't even know if I'm going to use the right word, reconciliation. Cool. Like I had to reconcile this. Cool. It's so stop trying to make it perfect. Stop trying to make it optimal because this isn't an optimal situation for that. It was a wonderful situation for business and for other aspects of my life, but not for performance and health and fitness. So I had to understand that there would be more missed workouts than usual. Right. And what I would do a lot is when I was on vacation, I would either go to, or not vacation. When I was traveling, I would try and go to the hotel gym. Some hotel gyms were amazing. Some hotel gyms sucked shit. And it was like a physio ball and that's it. And sometimes it would be worth it for me to spend the extra money to go to a gym, go to a Crunch Fitness, go to an LA Fitness, go to a Gold's Gym and pay the guest fee. And other times it wasn't. Sometimes I was just absolutely exhausted and I just went right to bed and I didn't work out. And sometimes I was exhausted. And I was like, yeah, I've got to push myself right now. Like it's been a little bit too long since I've gotten a workout in. My workouts were, I was much weaker. I had a little bit higher body fat percentage. I still was able to stay healthy and fit, but I need a lot more willpower at that point. Like you need to dig deep in those situations when you're traveling a lot. And again, this isn't, a lot of times people would see me on a plane all the time, be like, ah, you're so lucky. People would think that because usually when they're on a plane, they're going for vacation. But when you're on a plane like 6-8 times a week, it's not fucking fun.
Yeah.
And for those people who are, they're often going out to dinner meetings all the time. In these cases, I would absolutely, number one, recommend looking at the menu beforehand. I think it's a really, really important thing. Because if you're eating out at restaurants 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week, you've got to look at the menu. You've got to figure out what is the best thing that you can get there. You've also got to ask yourself, do I need to eat at this meal? Or is this a meal that I could just be there and have some water, maybe an appetizer without necessarily needing to eat the whole meal? Is that rude? Depending on the situation. It really depends. One thing that Gary would do, because Gary Vaynerchuk, I was his coach, he would have like between 2 to 4 business meetings at the same restaurant in a row. And people would come and meet him over and over and over. And he couldn't have 4 dinners in a row. So at some point you'd have dinner, but the other times he just sat there with water or coffee or tea and the other person would eat, but he wouldn't. And he'd be like, yeah, I already ate. And that's what he would say. And it's okay to say that. It obviously does depend on the situation, but if you're doing it a lot, you have to get comfortable setting boundaries and be like, hey, you know what? Like I had dinner before, whatever it is. And I would very often, I'd go to CVS, Walgreens, 7-Eleven, get Greek yogurts, get some hard boiled eggs, something like that. And just pick things up there. And I would eat before and then that's it. I'd be like, yeah, I already ate before. Or I would lie. I'd be like, I'm really just not feeling well. I'm just going to get a hot tea. Even though I the truth was I had eaten before, but I needed some way to keep myself in check for my own accountability, for my own health. So I'd be like, I'm not feeling that well, so I'm just going to get some tea. And that was it. And if that makes them uncomfortable, that's on them. That's not on me. It's like, I'm the one who's traveling and doing this crazy amount of work. Like I need to do what's right for me. So it's much more difficult. You have to have much more serious boundaries with yourself and with others. And you're really going to have to dig deep and have willpower in order to make it happen. It is doable, but that is an inherently much more difficult lifestyle.
Yeah. I love the idea of looking at the menu beforehand, if you can, identifying something that's going to suit your diet a little bit better than just getting, you know, the burger every time, just out of momentum. And I've noticed a theme, we're guarding against the extremes here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying earlier, there's two types of people I want to talk to about this. The person that's like always uber consistent, that's always like eating really well. They should probably relax on vacation. The person that, you know, is really struggling to kind of maintain consistency. Here's some things you can do to kind of keep it going, even though you're getting disrupted. In this travel situation, you're probably the latter because you don't know where you're going to be, what food's going to be available, when you're going to have access to a gym.
Exactly.
Do you think getting literate in body weight training is something you might recommend to someone in that situation?
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked. There are a couple of things that I would always bring with me when I was traveling. So I always had my jump rope with me. And I know that's a piece of equipment that not everyone likes, not everyone is very proficient with. But that was for me, especially when I was traveling somewhere where the weather was good and it was warm, I could always just go outside the hotel and I would just jump rope outside, which was great. I got some vitamin D. I had just been on a plane for a while, got some fresh air. So I love doing that. The other things I would bring, they're called Val slides. And you essentially could just get furniture movers. You know, those like little things that you put underneath a heavy piece of furniture slide it across the floor. Those things are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And you can do so much with those. So any type of, whether it's hamstring curls or moving like dynamic planks or lateral lunges, reverse lunges, you can just put one of them under one of your feet or under both of your feet, depending on the exercise, and have a tremendous amount of variety in your training. You could do push-ups on them with your hands, do like Spider-Man push-ups. These things are incredible. Maybe I should make a YouTube video on
how I use them. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've seen this before. That would be really cool.
These things, and they're so small. They're teeny. You put them right in your bag. They don't stop you at TSA, like, because they don't look weird. It's just furniture movers.
Yeah.
You could get the Val slides. I have the Val slides, but they're more expensive and they do the exact same thing. So I would always have Val slides. I would always have a jump rope, and I would always have bands, like at least like one band. And if I didn't have a band, sometimes I would also bring my TRX. Depending on, which is essentially a suspension trainer, which I think is probably the single best piece of strength training equipment that you can carry with you that is relatively light. And because it allows you to, you can always do push-ups wherever you are. Even if you can't do a regular push-up, you can always modify it. You could do push-ups with your hands elevated on the hotel bed or on whatever, on the table or on the chair. Training your back is very difficult when you don't have any equipment. And a TRX suspension trainer. And again, I'm not sponsored by anyone. I would be sponsored by them. TRX people, if you're listening, I'll be sponsored by you. Like, because I use,
hit I've this
used
them. Man up.
Dude, I've used TRX since I was 14 years old. I love it. It's, and they have other makes and models of it now. Liebert Fitness has a good one as well. But it's such a simple and effective way to strength train your back and to get a variety of strength training in without having a whole gym and without having to carry heavy things with you. So those are the main things I would carry with me. And
how does it mount? Like,
you just put it, you're right in the doorway. You put it right in the door, you close the door and it hooks in. And, you know, we see videos of people falling off of chin-up bars and bands snapping. I've never seen one video ever. And I've never seen a TRX breaking or snapping or anyone getting injured from it.
Yeah.
You hook it right in and it's good. You're good to
go. And the door frame, it doesn't mess with the door on the hinges. Doesn't,
I mean,
shear
if you're,
or...
maybe if you're in like a house built in 1832 and the door frames are not strong, it might, and you're 400 pounds. Yeah. That might rip it down. But like in a hotel that is most hotels, no, you're good luck. You're not going to, it's going to be totally fine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so if you, sometimes it would be worth it for me to go to a gym, pay the guest fee. Sometimes it wasn't. But if I had those, I could always get something in, always. Sometimes I would literally, I'll never forget this, I would call my buddy Adam Pine, who is a, he lives in Boston. I want to get him on the podcast at some point. Him and I coached together in Boston when I lived there. And there would be times when I would just be literally going up and down the staircases. Like, you know how they're like fire staircases in hotels? Out for an hour. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That would be my cardio. And I'd call Adam and we would just talk. And it, I remember because he would always hear, there'd be, there's an echo in those, when you're talking in those, it's like a clear echo. And it's usually you're either taking a poop type of an echo, or that was the type of an echo when we were, when I was in the the fire stairwell. And we would just talk. And we would talk about UFC, mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, coaching, all that stuff. But that's how I would get my cardio in, just going up and down. All if I didn't want to do the jump rope or whatever it was, or if it was cold out, yeah, I just go up and down the fire stairway.
Man, that sounds like the good old days, you know?
No, those were very, I mean, in some ways, yes, but those were very difficult days. I'm glad I'm not in those days anymore.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so stairs, TRX, the furniture coasters, I forget the brand.
Furniture. Val slide, V-A-L
Val slide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When it comes to programming for something like that, and again, this is a whole other episode probably, but any rules of thumb to keep it simple for someone that's otherwise not in control of their schedule?
So first I'll say, if you want an entire episode on how to design your workout programs. We have a very comprehensive one. So we'll put that link in the show notes. But what I would say is I would keep it as simple and as basic as possible. And there's no reason why you couldn't do a regular, whether it's an upper body, lower body split, mm-hmm. right? So you could, especially if you have the TRX and the Valslides and bands and all that, you could do push-ups and rows, and you could do pull-aparts, and you can do tricep extensions and bicep curls. You can do all these things with all of those for your upper body days. And then for your lower body days, doing hamstring curls, lunges, squats, like you can do all of them with that stuff. So if you want to do an upper lower, you could. If you wanted to do a push pull legs, you could. That you could literally do any split, but I would, just like with everybody, I would come up with a plan and mm-hmm. say, all right, so day one is this, day two is this, day three is this. I wouldn't make it Monday is this, right. Tuesday is this, Wednesday is this. I would make it day one, day two, day three. And maybe sometimes day one will be on Monday, sometimes day one will be on Thursday. But that's the order of the days that you follow.
Yeah, that's great.
I am going to have to leave probably by 9:40. I'm going to have to hop off. So 8 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I was sort of going to ask, how about any other non-strength training, non-walking, non-diet kind of advice you'd have for people who are on the go, traveling, taking planes?
The one other thing that I'll say is food while traveling can be very difficult, especially airport food, yeah. because it's outrageously expensive.
I know.
And it's usually they don't have the greatest options. It has gotten better over the years, but it's outrageously expensive is a main issue. And so I would always, always, always recommend eating before you get to the airport. It's one of those things where usually, like anytime I land, as soon as I landed, before I got to the hotel, I would stop and I would go to CVS or a Walgreens, or I would see if there was one of those really close to the hotel. I remember that wherever I stayed when we went to Naples, Florida, there was a CVS literally sharing the parking lot with the hotel.
Nice.
So I could just go there, but I would make sure I'd go to CVS, Walgreens, and I would get cottage cheese. I'd get Greek yogurt. I'd get eggs. I'd get the pre-made, like the oatmeal packets. And you can always make those with the hot water in the hotel. I would just get a whole bunch of the stuff that I knew was going to be quick, easy, nutritious, and healthy for me and filling. And that way I always had it on hand. And before I went to the airport, I would fill up. I'd have Greek yogurt. I'd have oatmeal. I'd have eggs. And that way, by the time I got there, I was like, I didn't need to spend $47 on a small bag of grapes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I noticed you did a post when you were in Atlanta, right? Where you went grocery shopping, even though you were only there for a few days.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Filled up our fridge with all the stuff. Yeah. Cause the grocery store was 3 minutes away. So mm-hmm. I just went there, got a whole bunch and saved hundreds and hundreds of dollars by not eating out every meal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Are you a water bottle guy?
You know, it's so funny. I was just talking about this I have a personal trainer podcast.
Yeah.
A podcast for personal trainers. We'll put a link in the description. It's called the How to Become a Personal Trainer podcast. So any coaches out there listening, if you want to listen to that. But I am a water bottle guy, but I don't like big water bottles. My wife loves big, like these, I think it's the Stanley mug, mm-hmm. the Stanley cup. I don't know if, have you seen that? They're fucking huge.
I know
huge.
Stanley's like a camping gear brand that I've used.
Dude. And they're a huge trend right now. I've seen all the women on social media have these Stanley mugs. They love these things. My wife is one of them. She fucking loves it. Okay. It's huge. It's like the size of the Stanley Cup. It's fucking massive. And she walks around with it all day and she loves it. I hate it because it's huge and it's fallen over. And it's one of those things. You know how some people will have these huge bottles of water and they'll like check off when they get to certain points, mm-hmm. like where they are. For me, it's not only annoying, but it's also demoralizing because I don't like chugging water. It doesn't make me feel good. Drinking in general is very difficult for me just because it's very easy for me to get full from liquid.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same
so,
way.
Yeah, it's just, I'm a sipper. I'm not a chugger. So I prefer a smaller water bottle that I can fill up more frequently because every time I have to fill it up, it's a huge win. I'm always like, yes, again. And so I get really excited. So I prefer the smaller ones. It's also just, it's easier to carry, more mobile. It's not as obnoxious just to have around all the time. So I do like water bottles, but I like the smaller ones.
Yeah. I guess find what works for you in that scenario, right?
Yeah. And my wife drinks water. I literally, one of my nicknames for my wife that I gave her when we first started dating was Gamal, which is camel in Hebrew, because she drinks so much water. It's insane. She always has. And we used to like, I would joke because we were long distance for like the first 2 years we were together. I could hear her gulping while we were on the phone because she was just always, and like, she got embarrassed. I was like, are you drinking? She's like, how'd you know? I was like, well, I can hear you gulping.
Yeah.
I was like, so whatever works for you.
Come on. Cool. Well, hopefully people come away with this with some strategies to help them when they're taking time away from home.
I hope so. I hope it was helpful. And again, the foundation being relax and enjoy. Right. And that doesn't mean be an asshole. It doesn't mean don't hold yourself accountable. But especially on something like vacation, vacation is vacation. When you go on vacation, you're not trying to, I really hope when you go on vacation, you're not like trying to keep up with all your work, right? When you go on vacation, like that's time away from your work. Vacation is time away. Let me actually Google, what is the definition of vacation? Vacation definition. Maybe you should have started with this. An extended period of leisure and recreation, especially one spent away from home, the action of leaving something one previously occupied. Yeah. Okay. So it's essentially, in my mind, taking time away from what you normally do. That's what vacation is. It's a restful time away, an enjoyable time away from what you normally do. And if what you normally do is track your calories and be on point with all of this, like maybe your vacation should be some time away from that. Give yourself some space so that you can actually see things from a different perspective, give yourself some time to relax. And oftentimes what will happen is when I take that time away, I'll come back and appreciate it more. Like, okay, cool. Like by the time vacation's over, I'm excited to be back on it. Yeah. So I'm excited to have that routine. So take some time away, force yourself to have some time away, and I think you'll appreciate it much more.
Awesome.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review and please leave a written review. I want to give a huge shout out to everyone who's been doing it. There have been some really amazing reviews lately, and they help a lot. And if you could also, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you could share it on your stories, share it on your Instagram stories, you know, say like, I've been listening to this amazing podcast with this two amazing dudes on it. Please go listen. That would just be super helpful. If I see it, I'll reshare it. It would just be amazing to continue to grow the podcast, and your help is always appreciated. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you soon.